You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Surprising enough, you two let it, we are back on YouTube.
Yeah, I saw that. I did see that. I saw that.
We're back on YouTube.
Let's see how long later
that we were using the YouTube link after because but I'm sure he'll find out here shortly.
How? He's not like he's gonna watch the show.
Oh, he watches every week. Anyways, no, hello, everybody, and welcome to an exciting new episode of Low Key on the Weird Libertarian Network. I am your host for this evening. My name is Harry, a.k.a. The Moving Target, and it's going to be a fun episode. We are back into the new year. It's our first episode of the new year. It's going to be great. And Chris is chiming into the intro. Yes, it's a Monday, which apparently, I don't know if we ever did change the name. Maybe we should just change it like, oh, yeah, it's Monday or it's Monday show. I don't know. Something else. But as you guys know, let me introduce the cast of characters into this show before we go into like the topic, because it's going to be a fun one. We've got Reinhold. Reinhold, you go say hi.
Hi. We're trying to drop down the keyness. We're trying to drop it low because before the show, we were a little high key. So we're trying to low key it now. And of course, we are live on Monday. We are the best program that goes live on Monday on this network.
Number one Monday show on the network. Highest growing show on the network too. Okay,
got the most. If there's any other shows on the network that are live on Monday right now or this evening, just we're better than they are.
We also got Vincent here on the show. Vincent, go say hi. Winner of best podcast co-host on the Wall Low Key blog post. You know, yes,
really, that is surprising.
It's my award show and I'm giving you the award.
Oh, gotcha. It's your award. Gotcha. Okay. And I was like, wow, it was actually voted by the people watching. That's impressive because
you gotta understand. Harry was only hired 10 days ago. So if his jokes fall flat, they're not his.
Oh my god!
Who stand up did you watch before this, Harry? So I know what jokes are coming.
That is a meme I stole from online because of the Sony gave themselves the award for best game for Spider-Man. Oh,
yeah, I saw that. <You know. laughs> Good. People should vote for Vincent.
Apparently, King Lion of Phlox voted for Vincent. That's good. That's good.
All right. Everyone should vote for Vincent. That's what. That's the only reason we're doing culture-y stuff. Because I'm here.
Yeah, imagine what we'd be talking about if Vincent wasn't here.
Yeah. This would not be called Low Key anymore. This would be called Scorched Earth Podcast.
Scorched Earth or something. Or like Harry develops a Monday night drinking problem. Okay. Try not to drink through the week. Weekdays, I try not to drink. I try to be completely sober for Monday.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. He's a professional, everyone. Like, but anyway, so tonight's topic, as you guys may know, because we're coming in the new year, I wanted to talk about some of the things that we've got in store for the future of this podcast, some things that I want to do, some things I'm going to bring up to the co-hosts, which like some people may have heard me say on other shows. So we're going to talk about that. The other thing we're going to talk about is a big thing that everyone is talking about. Like, apparently I couldn't have gone. I went everywhere I went after this episode, the Shannon Sharp Cat Williams episode dropped. Everyone was talking about it. And I just thought like, okay, maybe it's just my little bubble. Maybe it's just the black community. Nope.
On television,
competing with yoga. They were talking about it there too. These little white people talking about it. Everybody's talking about it. So we're going to get into that. So,
and they're going to explain it to me because I don't know what's going on.
I've already thought about, having to break down the actual context of who these people are before we go into it.
I spent the last week just arguing about 14th Amendment stuff. So
I'm out of the loop. Is that the amendment about alcohol?
No.
It should, not, it should
cause people to start drinking.
Anyways, you were
on another show?
Huh?
You were on another show without us?
Yeah, I went on to the Boss Hog of Liberty.
I saw that all the hosts of We Are Libertarians were on there.
We got some of the hosts to go on that show.
It said all of them.
Did it say all of them?
I'm just explaining what it said.
Well, I'm a co-host. So it doesn't count.
Vincent wasn't there. You'll see
I'm a co-host. So it doesn't count. Yeah.
And he was voted best, you know, co-host last year. Didn't get invited.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Yeah. 2023 best co-host over there. It's okay.
Just because I don't have any episodes of my podcast out.
maybe if you had a show on the network, maybe. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was just all people who host a show on the network.
Like anyways, Dakota?
Yeah, it's his work. It's his show. He's on. You know. It's like if I brought them all, because I can't bring them all on this show. Timing constraints. Anyways, I was on the Boss Hog of Liberty. We got to talk about. They got stuck on sports. Boring. Anyways, but it was fun to get a lot of us in the same building together because a lot of us really haven't been together since the. I want to say like the middle of COVID stuff. You know,
The picnic thing, or
yeah, the picnic thing, yeah. But like right now, it's really hard because like I'm the Boss Hog Liberty Jeremiah. Just you know, for some reason, he can't stay in one city longer than like a week, so it's kind of hard to like you know do like big stuff like we used to do. But you know, that and we've all grown up and just moved on to do different things. But and then I was also on Just KJ Things Twitch stream for in front of the show. It's where we go and we don't talk politics, we just talk video games. Great time, fun time over there. So you know, I'm on there on Tuesday nights. We do Stardew Valley. Great time. Also stream on my private channel for that one. But the thing I want to discuss, which I kind of brought it up on that one, is kind of splitting up. Like I want to talk about like splitting up the direction of the show. To me, and talking with Dear Leader, I'm considering like transitioning our weekly show to a monthly show. You know, I think that us doing it every week, I think the shows are as special as they could be if they were just a monthly show. I think we probably could put more effort. We could be easier for us to gain content, make the shows bigger and better. Personally, and I want to transition into that. I'm not saying that this is going to start to be like you're not going to do another one to February. I'm not going to do that. Our people who listen to the show love this thing. This is just something we're putting out the ether. I'm going to work on it. And so if you don't like it, reach out to us. Tell us like, hey, don't do this. Don't do this thing. Okay. But you know, come after the second quarter of this year. If guys don't really like reach out to us, like, yeah, I'm transitioning this show to a monthly show. We're just going to do first Monday of the month. And we're going to go from there. I think I need the extra time to do other things around my house. I got other projects I need to work on, too. I don't think I give this show my all. I know I'm better. And like even this one, like, so right now, right? I haven't did this show in 3 weeks?
Something like that.
I feel energetic. I feel tons of energy right now. Like I could probably go for 2+ hours. When it's usually like, okay, let me get through this over there. I feel like I was almost going through the motions. I don't know about any of you. If any of you think I am wrong, you guys don't do that for me. Hey, going back listening to the episode, looking at some of that's what I saw for myself. Please, talk freely. Like, if you think I'm insane, think I'm stupid.
And instead of going like full like once a month, I think. Unless we are increasing the length of the episodes, I doubt it. I think it would be better to do bi-weekly, to do it twice a month instead of just once a month. Because that gives us 2 weeks to gather up a bunch of things. And since we're only going to do like an hour to an hour and a half still, it would make more sense to do it every 2 weeks because that gives us time to because that gives a solid amount of time of, we have 2 weeks of things we can talk about and mm-hmm. we can give our full time and effort into.
Okay.
Plus the fact that you don't want to be, if we're talking about current events, you want to be current, and then being once a month is going to be hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Like this, what we're going to talk about tonight, you know, if we waited 3 weeks to talk about it,
yeah, it would be care. Over. Yeah.
Yeah. True. True. I'll give you that.
Yeah, but I think if we're going to do it scheduled of a, hey, we're going to do it like twice a month, and then if something comes up that you really want to talk about, we would go, mm-hmm. hey, do you guys want to do an episode about this? I want to talk about this. Here's the research I've already done. Let's talk about this. Hmm. I think that would make sense.
I see that. I see that. I think our fans will be okay as long as we give them a consistent like content. They know that we do that. And I think we can comfortably definitely do once a month. To me, every Monday is dragging on me. I don't know, like after we got over the enough listeners and I realized like people are actually listening to the thing, I realized like I've got to put a lot of more care into this. You know, this is not just some goofy thing that I'm just hitting record on, hanging out with my friends. I feel like I've got a little more responsibility to this thing. King Lion of Lux says, Danny was suggested for 2 weeks. Yes, Vincent has suggested for 2 weeks. Just
to be fair.
To be fair.
It's you just turning it on and just talking is what got us the listeners we have now. If you come a polished, produced podcast, then they may not be as enjoyable to the people we have.
Right, because maybe people like the
might appeal to other people, but
maybe people like the tangents we go on when we have a topic and we end up spending 20 minutes talking about something that's definitely not the topic at all.
Conservatively, yeah.
All right. I see that too. I see all.
We can play it by ear. We can do what you want to do. It's fine. Whatever you feel. If you don't feel like doing a show, don't do a show. If you want to do it once a month, do it once a month. But I'm just saying, there's things to think about too. But I mean, your mental health is the most important part. If you think you're draining yourself or not letting yourself be as engaged into it as you need to be, then take the time. That's fine. I'm sure our fans would rather have you engaged and enjoying what you're doing than to feel like you have to do it.
There are some times when we do the show or get ready or just doing prep for the show, to borrow a line from a great man, sometimes I feel like butter spread on, not enough butter spread on too much bread. That is all my fault. I will say that because I fill in my schedule. I try to make sure that I don't really have that much downtime. So I try to just have things.
Right.
And I also realize that's a detriment to a lot of some people around me because they try to plan hey, you have any free? No. That's not free. You know, something has to move to adjust. And some people are uncomfortable. Well, can you, I've asked me hey, oh no, I can cancel this. And they're what? You just canceled something. Yeah, I do this all the time. It's not it's, and I also said so when I do cancel a Monday when we don't give, I do feel bad, but also got to the point of this is just what we do every Monday. It's fine if I cancel once or twice, but then I feel bad for people who really expected the episode. I will be able to say hey, I'm going to do one episode a month. I'm going to do that first. We're going to go ahead and do it. And that's why.
And if we get bonus content, everybody wins.
Yeah, but I also see what Vince said, if we don't do more than hours. So, if we did, the four-hour episodes, we did that once a month, right?
Right, we did one longer one a month, but it wouldn't be on Mondays, obviously. We'd have to schedule it some other time.
I still think we should do a Friday gaming streaming show where we just talk while we're gaming. I think people would like to watch that because not only would they be watching gaming content and we can be joking and laughing about that, but we'd also be talking about other topics too. Instead of just one or the other.
Yeah, I like to drink though. And
Harry does just kind of say shit when he starts to drink.
I'm going to tell you right now, I think you would feel a lot better if you would take up yoga.
As Indiana's yoga champion. I'm hurt that you said that.
Another award he gave himself.
Whoa.
No, he didn't give himself. Won by default, but it's neither
here nor the only man that competed in my age category or men period. So I'm the yoga champion. I may have the lowest points in the whole league, but I am still the man.
In my country, we call that we take those.
I know. I'm lower than all three of the women that competed from Indiana. That's why I can't say Indiana's yoga champ. Indiana's men's champion. Let's see. Let's go. Just don't actually feel bad, but then dinner will get in the way of that. Yes, yeah. Could we do easily dinner on Friday, so I have to eat the back by at least 8 or something like that. And then he earned. Yes, I did earn that title. Thanks, Skulja. The other thing with it is, because Vincent will tell you that I have said some things.
That's an understatement.
When I have been drinking, especially when we're playing Paladins, I've said some fortunate things sometimes. I'm not saying that.
Let's just say he had some.
Those can be edited for podcasts.
Choice insults about delivery. About people who are Patriots fans.
I think our fan base would enjoy that.
I will not go more into detail about what was said, but
yeah.
I saw you guys were playing the other night, but I didn't see you anywhere, so I didn't see you on KJ, so I just went ahead and went to sleep.
Yeah, I'd rather not have Pip Pip Cheerio live on the internet forever.
Yeah, it was probably a good thing that didn't happen.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We got different Haiti holes where we game at. If you see us online gaming, just like, hey, where are you guys? I want a game too. You won't be the first nor the last person to go that pings us. Hey, we're gaming. Like, why do you think we game with Nissan sometimes? Hey, would y'all do it? We gaming.
I just figured anytime you turn the game up, he's on. Hey, what's up?
He only plays Paladin when he's banned from Overwatch. He's only plays Paladin when he's banned from Overwatch.
Over the weekend, somebody pinged Harry while we were watching anime and is like, hey, he wants to watch it too. So that we made it. So we pulled him in to watch with us.
We could get 4 people play through Baldur's Gate 3. That would be fun.
We could,
or 5-on-5 of Paladins.
It is insane that we have that many people that we could at this point.
He can't get banned from Overwatch because Overwatch isn't a thing. He's getting banned from Overwatch too.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Fact check. I got fact check live.
Overwatch doesn't exist anymore.
Actually, that is my new favorite game show, by the way. Actually, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah. I mean, he does just say stuff too. I mean, Salty Paul is always entertaining to watch when we play Paladins.
Hey, I mean, it's been a while since I've played with Nissan.
Yeah, fact check, you're right. Overwatch doesn't exist anymore. Overwatch 2. Hey,
I have to say, I do have several edits under my belt for Wikipedia. And I'm actually known in the community a little bit because this is a good story. A few years ago, so there was a hoax that somebody had died. And I was going in and protecting the Wikipedia page because people kept making the edit to say that he had died. No, he hasn't. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no proof of that yet. Let's wait. One of the upper mods on Wikipedia said something like, hey, you're Ryan Hold from We Are Libertarians. It's great to have somebody on here that knows what to talk about. Or something. It was a nice thing that they said, but they recognized me from the show. And I was like, okay, there's the one guy. I found him. Great. I have my one fan.
You have more than one fan.
I actually met one fan in person at a convention. Chrissy said, hey, this guy's really a big fan of yours, and introduced me to him. And I could, and you hear these stories about famous people and how fans meet them, you can tell that they are excited, but they don't know what to say, and it's really awkward. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's what this is like. Because he was really nice, and he's just wanting to kind of talk to me, but he really didn't know what to say, and he's just kind of like smiling and nervous. Like, and kind of,
this is really cool. Like, I don't know what to say.
This is what that's like.
I mean, yeah. This is the other side. This is weird.
This is what I was doing when I went up to John Kassir about 10 years ago and met him and talked to him for about 30 minutes at a convention. It was cool because John really loved the fact that I knew who he was before the Crypt Keeper. Like, I used to watch him on a show called Video 2000 when he was hosting. He's like, oh, let me tell you stories about that show, because nobody ever asked him about that. He was telling me about how the co-host on that show was the daughter of John Gotti or something, and it was all a way to funnel money from the mob. It was just the best stories ever.
God,
so I had a good time talking to him.
The 80s. You'll never get those back. Yeah. But yeah.
It was like 82.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I think if we're going to reduce the amount of episodes, I think twice a month would make sense. I'm a no lifer, so Mondays or whatever.
I'm an extreme lifer. Okay.
Like my schedule interactions with people outside of work are Mondays and Tuesdays. And Fridays and maybe Saturdays, but never Sundays at all.
My life is basically, I'm sitting here anyway, so just give me a call. I'm sitting here in front of my computer, the camera's sitting here, the microphone, I'm ready to go anytime. Just somebody give me a call.
I'm outside.
Chris doesn't call no more. I don't get invited on BHOL. I don't get, nobody calls me, so just make sure you give me a call.
Are you wanting to drive out to the Boss Hog Studio?
Oh, I would have. Yeah, I would have if it was
supposed to invite you. This is where I would have drove to if I got an invite.
Next, because they want to come on our show and they want us to come on theirs. So, you know, I'm not gonna get Vincent on a not Friday night. Once I give him the drop,
we could have Liberty and Chill.
Like, you want me to drive where? Nah.
We could have Liberty Chill there, right?
Depends on how far away it is.
One place I do want to go up for Liberty Chill one day is drive up to this this weird place called Fort Wayne. They do a nice Liberty and Chill once a month. I feel like driving up there and doing it one time.
Yeah, break in and say, hey, you stole our name.
I wasn't going to be like, I'm not going to like tell him. I'm just going to show up one day and just sit there and stare at
him. How dare you?
Maybe we should. Oh, man. Yeah. Do we have a lawyer we could pick up? Set him a cease and desist.
I know a great lawyer. His name is Seth Richardson. Mm. He's my personal lawyer. Mm-hmm. He writes all my stuff.
Thanks. But no. Yeah. All right.
He's all right. A little see-through.
I said it's a transition, so maybe when we get to quarter two, we'll do the duel a month thing. And if I think it's too much, go from duel to one. We'll just waterfall it down if need be. Or
just totally makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, this is a real event. So if you're in the Fort Wayne, Indiana area, they do actually do an event on the second Wednesday of the month out there.
Imagine doing something in the second Tuesday and then the second Wednesday. That sounds like too much. Too much hair. Can't do that. Sorry. Pass.
It's like, this is too sociable.
It's two social events 2 days in a row? Nah, hard pass.
Yeah. Ooh, except next month because it's Valentine's Day. What? You know, you guys should do Valentine's Day. I would. You know, I once did a...
do you think people show up at Liberty and Chill are going to be at Valentine's Day instead?
Wow, right. I'll just call out the whole movement there.
It's probably an underage place.
Yeah.
Probably have to be at least 18 to be there.
Thanks, Reinhold. Fun to party, so.
Anyways, Reinhold over here giving Pac-Man facts like Scott Pilgrim and shit.
Well, actually,
Did you know he was?
Apparently, you can beat Tetris. That's what you found out this week, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
On the NES in particular.
Yep. Ride Home was destroyed by a 13-year-old kid. He's been trying at that record for decades.
I don't think I ever owned a
Reinhold.
I never owned a Super NES. I was an arcade boy.
Reinhold
jumped straight to computers.
Reinhold paid for that news reporter that basically told the kid to go touch grass.
I know.
Why don't you go outside? Oh man, that was hilarious.
You go outside.
She's getting so slammed.
She said it as a joke, to be fair. Okay. It was a funny joke. A boomer joke, but still a joke.
A boomer in an insulting one, especially to a kid.
Go touch some grass. No, that joke was
funny. I spent 3 hours a day playing, so to be fair, it's a lot of time.
I mean, he is 13. What else you gotta do?
I saw it as a joke. I'm more generous to some people. I saw it as a joke. Like, good job. Touch some fucking grass. Or maybe because I just see all these people who need to touch some effing grass and need something to go touch some grass. Oh, thanks. Thanks for the follow.
Thanks.
It's working. But no, yeah. Yeah, that's just how I am. All right. So do we want to talk about, you guys want to switch the conference? You guys going to keep discussing that? Because I think we've got it planned down, what we're going to do.
We'll set a full date and let people know exactly when we start.
So the official plan is we're going to figure it out.
Scalja, I'm going to need you to get rid of that bot, please.
Scalja. Has he gotten it? Has he got it?
I don't know. But I'm going to get rid of that bot, please.
Let me go.
But while we do that, we're going to transition to this Cat Williams interview. So, Reinhold, do you know who I'm assuming you know who Shannon Sharpe is at the very least, correct?
I know who Shannon Sharpe is.
Mm-hmm. But you don't know who Cat Williams is very much, right?
Wasn't he the guy that played in Grace American Hero? Oh, that's William Cat, sorry. Cat Williams, yes, I know who Cat Williams is. He's a comedian.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, for people who don't know, Shannon Sharpe used to be a Hall of Fame tight end who played for the Denver Broncos and the Baltimore Ravens. After his playing career was done, he went into sports media, where he got a name doing one of those hot take shows with Undisputed with Skip Bayless. Where a lot of it was him making fun of Skip Bayless for being a Cowboys fan.
He did some play-by-play and some Sunday morning shows before that, that sort of
thing. Yeah, but that's what really took him off, and that's what a lot of people have known him for because of all of
his antics. He's like the more legit Pat McAfee.
Yeah. And then while he was on Undisputed, he made a YouTube channel called Club Shay Shay, where he interviews people and just talks to different celebrities. And he did an interview last week with Cat Williams. People who know who Cat Williams is, he's a stand-up comedian. He's been a stand-up comedian for a long time. Most people know him probably as a pimp named Slickback from the Boondocks. Mm-hmm. Or if you watch Wild 'N Out, he was on that for like a long time.
Yeah.
Isn't he like one of the more famous memes? Isn't that him?
Potentially.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
Like,
Why would they do this? Yeah. Why would this person do this after he shoots him? Isn't that Cat Williams?
I don't know. I don't remember. But he's also in like the Friday.
Oh, you think? No, that is not Cat.
That's not Cat.
No.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I just thought about
I get those two guys confused in my head sometimes because he was on Mike, like the comedy Bang Bang or something. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This is Monday Mike on Friday After Next, right? All right. So he went on this interview on Club Shay Shay, which as of checking before we went live, it was at 35 million views. The whole almost three hour video is at 35 million views, which is Shannon Sharpe's biggest interview he's done. The closest thing he got was maybe like 10. Mm-hmm. But we brought Cat Williams on. He the first 30 minutes is basically Cat Williams going, you interviewed all these people on your podcast and they were lying to your face and they were putting my name in their mouth. So I'm going to clear the record straight. Mm-hmm. And so for the first 30 minutes, he starts going in on like Cedric the Entertainer, who stole one of Cat Williams' big ending jokes that he did on television before on Kings of Comedy. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, there's side by side evidence that people have receipts. They're side by side evidence. And Cedric, and there's also other evidence of people finding that Cedric copied jokes from like TV shows from 1989, like Designing Women. Mm-hmm. There's a joke that he stole like verbatim from that show. Mm-hmm. He went off on Steve Harvey, who also stole jokes from him. He was talking about how the Steve Harvey show was basically keeping up with Mr. Cooper, yeah. He basically stole the entire Keeping Up with Mr. Cooper show. It's the exact same premise.
It's different. Instead of him being a basketball player, he's a musician.
But they're still both the principal with a distinct tie, and it's the same person. It's the same joke.
It's different.
And he really just went in on a lot of the people, like Ricky Smiley, who claimed that he had the role that Cat Williams had in Friday After Next, and that they just switched roles and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But that's what a lot of people are talking about, is the him calling people out by their names. Mm-hmm. And the things that he brought up, like stuff like Steve Harvey saying that he didn't want to be a movie star, but as soon as Bernie Mac died, he called the producers of Ocean's 11 to take Bernie Mac's role in the movie, which people have receipts for. That as soon as after Bernie Mac died, he tried to immediately jump in and take that role. But a lot of people are talking about the calling people out by their name stuff. For me, I like the actual personal things and other things he talked about in the interview, but stuff like him like giving money to like him being homeless when he was 13, and him going to whenever he goes to certain shows, he takes a portion of the money he gets paid from the shows and puts it into the homeless community. Which the things I'm talking about in particular, people have receipts and showed that he has done these things in particular. So these things that I'm bringing up specifically are validated by other people, and stuff like him sending women on his staff to other people's comedy shows, and those women would give the performers money because he knows they weren't making a lot of money from their performances. So he would just give them money as like you did a good job, son, young man, kind of thing. So there's a lot more in that interview that is very interesting, but Harry, what are your thoughts you had on it?
All right, so like let's touch on the first part, because the Kings of Comedy, like, so I remember watching that special, right? And I always did think it was like, so one thing he also did comment is like, it was weird that they put Bernie like first and the rest of the West, because Bernie was funnier than all of them. You know, and granted, like Steve and Cedric was like the draw because like you knew them from, like from TV shows and stuff like that. But like, but when you watch it, it's like Bernie was hilarious. But the thing with like they were saying about it, because there's always been that air between like Cedric the Entertainer and Steve Harvey, because it just seemed after a while it was the same thing like certain other comedians after a while they just couldn't write or just couldn't do stand-up anymore for some reason. Something happened. Death Leary.
Here's the problem. Dennis Leary. Bill Hicks died. So Dennis Leary didn't have any material steel.
Yeah. The Dennis Leary Bill Hicks one, I remember watching that. I was like, what are you talking about? Dennis Leary. Oh, no.
And the thing was, Bill Hicks was so much funnier than Dennis Leary.
So much funnier. 10 times funnier. But
still sad about
that. And then Ricky Smiley, I think the Ricky Smiley. I've never thought Ricky Smile was funny. That man is corny. Listen to this man on the radio. That is a corny man.
the him Cat Williams said he put in his contract that if he ever works with Ricky Smiley, he has to wear a dress in the next movie. And the next movie they did, Ricky Smiley was in a dress. I was like, God damn. Fuck, bro. But yeah. he also touched on that whole thing that's been in the zeitgeist a lot that people talk about, that why do black men usually have to wear dresses in movies for no reason?
Yeah.
That a lot of black men get put in dresses and then for no reason.
Yeah, I don't understand that whole frustration, like the focusing on about that in the black community. Look what they're doing. I'm like, a lot of comedians they put on dresses. It's something in our comedy for some reason. Sorry, Ryan, you were trying to say something? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, I was just going to say, when you have Madea making billions and billions of dollars, right?
That's true. But
everybody
like,
it's wants not, to kind of do the thing.
But just I'm not saying like The Rock really started getting big when you put that dress on with Jessica Alba, but.
like the example Cat Williams gave that he was talking with.
But it is Martin Lawrence. Weird. It is weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was talking with Martin Lawrence, and that he said he was going to do the next movie with Martin Lawrence. And when he met up with him, Martin Lawrence goes, "We're going to do Big Mama's House 2." And Cat Williams is like, "Why are you still in a dress? You already did the movie where you were in a dress. Can't we just be like Dog Catchers now? Why do we got to be women? I don't understand."
Because it's called a sequel. It's
yeah,
what
I know.
Do.
I know.
It's what they want. It's what the studios want. They're not very creative. I don't believe in the whole Illuminati conspiracy. Yeah, I don't believe in the whole Illuminati conspiracy that they need to put men in dresses for some sort of ritual.
Yeah, thing. That's exaggeration.
Yeah. I don't buy into that one.
I mean, there's a whole thing with Bob Hope and Bing, or not Bob Hope. It was a Jack Benny and Bob Hope or whatever, wearing dresses and some USO thing. And it's just like, they used to do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just one aspect of comedy they could throw out there and get a cheap laugh. It's just what you
do. Right. And there's, this whole thing like this gets you, you know, to this position. What about all the people who put dresses on that never got anything? Never got it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, let's be careful because we're running afoul of previous topic on, you know, the network from an hour ago. So,
but
all I'm saying is, if you're going to give me $200 million, all I have to do is that. I'm sorry, I got limits. Prance around right now.
Let me go to Bloomingdale's.
If no one's touching me, I know one's going to touch me. You know, let's go.
I don't care. Sometimes, sometimes a man wants to feel pretty.
$200 million. $200 million. I'll be pretty for $200 million. But
I think the big issue is that the joke is that they're in a dress and not that they're playing a character that works with this.
Right.
Right. It's like the Monty Python people did dresses. It didn't matter.
But they're playing characters. I think there's a lot of aspects in this whole thing too, is that some people say, okay, be in a dress because it's funny on a level of being homophobic, as opposed to when Monty Python did it was because they played all the characters, and that's right, what they did. Exactly. They would do that for that bit, but it wasn't because it was funny to see men in dresses, right? So there's a different take on why you're doing it.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's just like a lot of people say you can't do certain things, you know, but then you have Robert Downey Jr. doing in Tropic Thunder, and it's okay because of the way it's done and who you're making fun of.
Right.
That's what the key is. I keep hearing every time I see people doing like reactions to Tropic Thunder or Blazing Saddles, and I keep hearing, well, you could never make that movie now. Yes, you could. You can make that movie now if you do it right. If it's done in the right way, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't use it in a way that's trying to be funny at the expense of somebody else or some other group of people, as it were. So.
There's actually something very interesting that he said in that, because he was talking, because Shannon asked him a question about, you know, cancel culture and it being a different time and like stuff. Some of the jokes that like Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor did, they couldn't be done now because it's a different time, whatever. And Cat Williams goes, that doesn't matter. Like, yeah, they can't say that now. They would have made a different joke. They're just good comedians. It doesn't matter.
Well, society changes. So you make
the difference. That's exactly what he's
saying. Comedy's about pushing edges of society. Mm-hmm. And when the edges of society change, you change your focus on where you're doing your comedy at. You don't, you know, it's going to always be a little different because society's different.
Right.
But you're still pushing those boundaries. You're still hitting those edges, but you've got to do it in the right way. It's like George Carlin said that when he was talking about Andrew Dice Clay, it's why he didn't like Andrew Dice Clay is because Andrew Dice Clay was punching down instead of punching up. Mm-hmm. You punch up to authority. You punch up to people who deserve to be made fun of, not people who don't.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and that's where you have to find the line at.
Right. Yeah. Basically what he said in the interview was that like there are things that we said and then the words and things change and you got to change with it.
Mm-hmm.
It just changes. So that's not acceptable anymore. So you change. If you're a good comedian, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But he also said, you don't want to use words also just like to hurt someone. He said that, like, you don't do this. If this word hurts somebody, so like, don't use that word. Just find a different word, do something else. You know,
when people talk, keep talking about Blazing Saddles, it's like we couldn't make that movie today. I said, that almost couldn't be made then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that movie got shelved twice because of it. The only reason that it went through is because Richard Pryor wrote that dialogue, right? And he was involved in the writing of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave it the seal of okay. And if you notice, Mel Brooks never says that word in the movie.
Yeah.
He's always avoiding it because he wouldn't do it. The guy at the beginning of the movie who first says the N-word, the hard R, did not want to do it. Mm-hmm. He refused to do it. And Cleavon Little had to tell him it's okay for him to feel comfortable enough to do it for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that movie that's my whole thing about, and I'm going off on a minor rant here, but I've been thinking about this for a long time. It's frustrating to watch people yelling about cancel culture when you go back and look at people like Tom Lehrer, who was arrested for the things he was saying, right? You have people, Monty Python's Life of Brian came out and there were death threats. There had to be people stationed there to protect them when they were going to the opening because people were going to kill them for making that movie. It was not shown in several theaters in England. It was banned. And it's like, that's canceling culture. Not, oh, we don't like what you had to say, so we're not going to support it. Right. That's how things work. When you're talking about using the police to actually arrest people for what they say, that's the other level. And that's what it really frustrates me is the same people who are complaining about cancel culture now were the ones who were supporting doing that stuff then.
Right.
Yeah. But that's just a whole side rant. It really depends upon the idea of satire. The key to satire is that you're punching up, not down. And you're making fun of ideas and societal norms and people in power. You're not picking on people who are already having a hard enough time in life as it is. That doesn't work. Nobody's going to like that.
Yeah. The other thing with like in the interview, which was really neat, was when Kat did when they were talking about when they went like Wanda Sykes and Wanda Smith. It's been a while since I've seen that interview. I forgot all about that whole incident and the guns being pulled and everything like that. Completely forgot about this. So Cat Williams goes on this radio show interview in Atlanta with this woman named Wanda Smith, which is now that interview is blowing back up again. And it was basically like radio show, apparently, which we found out in the interview, that was called like, oh, we're not going to talk about any of the personal stuff. We're going to concentrate it on you're winning the award for the Atlanta TV show and the show that you're doing here in Atlanta, right? And it wasn't like that. It was like jail, money issues, blah, 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 just hitting with things. And, well, Kat's a comedian that does great things off the dome and proceeded to roast her. And she tried to roast back and realize he's in a different league.
You never heckle the comedian. That's what they do for a living.
That's what
don't. do that.
And Shannon goes, why did you do that? Blah, blah, blah. She's like, I'm a comedian. That's what I do. He's like, my job isn't to care about your feelings. It's to make people laugh. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to come after me, my job is to make people laugh. So I'm going to go in.
I know. So yeah.
Tom Rickles, your ass.
She had any sense. She should have just took the L and the money and just kept running ads on it and just let her go get roasted for an hour. I would have. I'd have been like, damn, bring my tax return in here. Give that to him. All right, let's go. 30 minutes. Hold on.
That's one of my favorite things to do.
This ad read.
I love watching those video clips on YouTube, but you can watch people watch good comedians just destroying hecklers because it's why are you still talking? Shut up.
He's gonna kill you. Yeah. I'm going to a comedy show this Friday night, so I can't go out with you guys this Friday. Going to a comedy show. And I told this person, like, I'll go with you, but like if you heckle, I'm act like I don't know you.
Like, bro, I'm out, not touching that.
And what's funny is that a lot of comedians these days are making their bones by doing crowd work in their show now and putting that on you. Because I had a friend of mine who was a comedian, and he always would get upset when he would go on radio shows, including one that we know very well, and they would want him to do his act on the show. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do my act on the show. You'll come see me, you'll see the act. Mm-hmm. So now to get around to what they're doing is they're doing crowd work and then putting clips of that on TikTok and getting the attention. And that's how Matt Rife got so big, because his crowd work was actually really well done. Yeah. Jeff Arcuri is one of my favorites at that. Watching his crowd work is awesome. He's never mean about it. He's always very upbeat and happy and joking around and self-deferential. So he's one of my favorites at all that. But that's what they're doing now in order to. So you end up getting comedians doing a lot more crowd work than they used to do for that purpose, because they know they can put that up there and get views and free advertisement for it. So
by the way,
there's a lot more chances for getting heckles in that because you're talking to the crowd more. You're interacting with them more. You'll get people throwing stuff back, but. My favorite ones are the ones that play along with it. Like Jeff was after somebody the other day and was saying something about her name. Some woman's name was Margaret or something like that. And he was like, oh, so you drive a bus. And they asked her what she did. And she goes, I'm a bus driver. And it's like, and then she said, no, I'm not really. And he's like, I love the fact that you just went with it and was okay with the joke and turned right into the joke. And we had a good time for it. You know, that's the kind of stuff that they like to see, but,
yeah.
No, don't try to fire back at those guys because they will destroy
you. Just come at you.
What were you gonna say, Harry?
No, I'm just gonna say that. I'm just saying the comedian that I'm gonna go see is Bo Johnson on Friday. It's fine. Okay. But
Who's open?
Is there an opener? There is an opener, and I can't remember his name. I'm sorry.
But there's a lot of stuff that he touches on in that interview. He talks about how him being homeless affected his perspective on people, that him seeing that it was just that it was doctors and lawyers and everybody out there that it's just one wrong move led him to be that. It kind of changed his worldview on things that, like, when he wanted to learn about a religion, he would go to the religious house of prayers and talk to them and figure then that's how he got to know all the different religions. Cause he would go specifically to like a mosque or a synagogue or whatever and talk to them and get to know them. There's a lot of stuff about, he has 10 kids. 9 of them are foster kids, which is because he wanted to give back to people that need it. One of the very interesting stories was something that was brought up from Friday After Next, because he was talking. Shannon Sharp brought up something that Terry Crews said on when he interviewed him, is that Cat Williams was homeless during Friday After Next. And Cat Williams basically said that he lived in his trailer during Friday After Next, and that he really needed the money because his young kid at the time dropped his chain on his teeth and broke his front teeth. Yep. And he needed to have dental surgery that he could not afford at the time. And that movie gave him enough to be able to take care of it. And be able to continue living on besides just being homeless and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Oh, you missed. You should go back. At least watch some of the clips of the interview.
It sounds like he's saying a lot of things that I've said people should do, as opposed to sitting on and pontificating about how other people are doing wrong things and they should, you know, pull them up by the bootstraps and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, you understand life can hit you hard. Mm-hmm. I'm somebody who can, you know, attest to that. Okay. Where you think you're on this trajectory and then something out of the blue mm-hmm. comes and just destroys everything for the next 20 years of your life without, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. without as much of a buy your leave, you know what I'm saying? It's like, we don't care. So
yeah.
okay. everybody's going through stuff and everybody's mm-hmm. trying to deal and you need to have a little more grace.
Yeah.
Elon Musk is going to make it so we can pull ourselves up from the bootstraps because we'll be on Mars with no gravity.
What's funny is pull yourself up by your bootstraps is originally a diss at the people who were saying that you should be able to pull yourself up. Like it used to be a mockery,
yes,
and they took it and made it something that like they think is a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Just like the jack of all trades, master of none. That's is it actually an insult?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know. that's my life in general.
That's why I tell people, like, I master one thing, I just dabble in everything else.
But
that's an old Taoist thing, too, is you're supposed to be, like, pick one thing and just be the best at it. You know, don't mm-hmm. try to be okay in a bunch of things. And it's like, yeah, you and I disagree there. But
Brian holds mid-max D&D characters. It's Taoist. I'm a cleric. Brian, oh, this is mid-max. It's crap.
I heal 100 eat? Points of heal.
Well,
level 3,
I get extra points because I only have 2 fingers, but enough to grab my mace.
I brought this mace over from my other game and my other character, so you have to accept it. And it's got a plus. Anyway,
yeah,
I know.
There are guys like that.
I'm deaf in my left ear, but that's where I hold my shield.
there's some more things in the interview. There's a lot of people that he's kind of the passing comments about. One of the things that was said that a lot of people are misinterpreting, that I feel like they're following what he was talking about. He was talking about Jonathan Majors.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he was talking about how it's weird how society and like the entertainment business went out of their way to basically push him as a very handsome man when those traits are usually traits that were degraded and a lot of people didn't think were attractive for a long time because of how he looks, that a lot of entertainment just kind of really pushed him to be like this thing that a lot of people usually said wasn't conventionally attractive. And he made a lot of jokes about that. He's like mm-hmm. he looks like my dad. How do you think my dad's attractive and stuff like that? And then he talked about how like he got removed from Marvel, and he's like, mm-hmm. you can't get on the bad side of Marvel. Marvel will make it so you can't even read a comic book, let alone be in a movie.
Can we also just appreciate that Marvel waited up until conviction before getting rid of him? I thought that not the allegation. I want to give it. Shout out to Disney with that.
I have a small thing about that, though. I mean, so
you can say they did what's different?
Oh. No, what's different between what he did and what what's his name? I just had it on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of it.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, Johnny Depp. What Johnny Depp did?
They didn't wait for any like thing. What's the court? United States court.
No, he used to beat her up at the house. I mean, it was That whole trial thing was like, oh yeah, he got exonerated. He got exonerated for what she has sued him for.
Yeah.
But it was established pretty definitely that he used to beat the crap out of her.
They both used to beat the crap out of each other. They're both
right. But what I'm saying is that why is he back in movies and everybody's loving him now when, you know,
Depp fans will love Depp fans. Herd fans like Herd fans.
Mm-hmm. That's just kind of how it.
What about Majors fans? Why isn't he? I mean, I think he was.
Does it just happen?
The only Herd fan, Majors fan I am is. I thought he was great in Creed. I think he was trash in all the other Marvel movies. He does not make me want to watch.
I thought he was excellent, but Creed as Kang. I thought he was superb as Kang.
If his character in Creed was in Marvel, I'd watch that. But since it's not. Nah,
but, seriously, I don't know. Everybody's like, talking about all you can just because it's a variant, you could always just replace him with someone else. I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't know if anybody else has the chops to pull off what he was doing with Kang. I thought that was very well done what he was doing.
Yeah, but it was more.
Let's bring in the Rock. Let's bring the Rock in.
Yeah, probably. I mean, honestly, probably. Yeah, that is something that they would do. And you say that as a joke, that's something they would do. Either that or Kevin Hart.
I know. I'll probably
know they're going to bring in Kevin Hart instead. You know it's going to be Kevin Hart as Kevin. But
Kevin Hart is as Dr. Doom, but have The Rock as the Doom bots.
But
that's my Doom bot. It's an exact clone. The clone.
But there's a lot of things he put out there. There's some choice quotes that he said that he said. Shannon asked about Cedric the Entertainer. He said that Cedric isn't funny. And he's like, so you think Cedric? I was like, no. The world thinks Cedric the Entertainer isn't funny. He has 4 stand-up specials. And you can't watch it on Netflix or Tubi. Like there are nowhere to be seen.
The only buddy thinks he's good is himself, right?
Right, and one of the best quotes is that you have an unnatural allegiance to losers, and that's not like you. And it's such a good quote.
It's a good quote.
Just to put on people and stuff like as a winner. You can't let losers rewrite history to be winners. Because they were taking his jokes and doing stuff and saying things that weren't true. How, you know, Steve Harvey said that he had too many things going on to do stand-up anymore. But another proven thing is that he did do a stand-up battle against Cat Williams and lost. And stop doing stand-up comedy. That has also been proven.
Yep. That's just one other thing. There are some things that he messed up on. I would like to say issue a fact check. He called Daniel Radcliffe a hobbit. Clearly Elijah Wood. You don't know your Lord of the Rings,
that's
cat.
That's true. He did
that's
say that.
That's a whole meme that people keep getting Elijah Wood and Daniel Radcliffe mixed up. It's the funniest thing.
That's
Daniel Radcliffe's always signing Elijah Wood's signature on stuff.
the whole reason he brought that up is that how people just play themselves in roles, and when he purposely divorces himself from the character before he makes before he goes into the role of the character, he doesn't just want to play himself.
Which is true, because I can picture Cat Williams' characters in movies. I don't remember that any movie, like when he goes like, "That's not my white baby." I can remember the scene. I have no idea what movie that's from.
Right. I'm a grown man, Damon. named Slickback. You gotta say the whole thing. This guy, Tribe Called Quest.
That character is not light skinned. He's rice skinned. Okay. Oh man.
There's also a lot of positive things you talked about.
I also dislike when he was talking about going into strip clubs and looking down on the women that work there, thinking they're either like on drugs, they have issues or addicts or habits. Do some women there like, yeah, but not all of them. Most of them are about their cast. They're all all of them are small businesses on stage they're dancing, and a lot of them are about their cash. They have accountants. They've got accounting machines. So
I get that. I also get but the point that he was making was that because he purposely hires a lot of women in his staff, he would go in find a woman he would like and immediately hire her, and she wouldn't be in the strip club anymore.
Right. Yeah.
But probably, that was not the whole thing he was talking about. What he was trying to establish. Yeah.
But that's one that's probably not either didn't want to be in the first place or not making much money doing it.
Right.
So that's the one you get, because some of them you can make plenty of money working, especially with club they're at.
Well, I mean, I've known a few. And there's different reasons for doing them. But one of them I talked to was, she was just like, I'm going to college and this is the only way I can pay for it. It's the only time it gives me the time of the day I could do it. Gives me the money to pay for it without having to take out loans and take care of my daughter at the same time. Cause she would be asleep at, it was the perfect time for her to do the job. And she wasn't opposed to doing it. That's the other thing too. She didn't have it wasn't like she was
murdering people
by doing it,
she ain't murdering people. Enjoying
it. Nah, right.
She ain't murdering people. That's why I tell people, like, I can't really do that. It's not murder. It's not rather than murder people.
Just so everybody knows, no, the stripper doesn't want to go home with you.
Yeah. If you think she is in you or likes you or wants to go home with you, you need to leave.
Stop.
You're getting your wallet cleaned.
Yeah. You're getting cleaned out.
So this podcast dropped. And there's a lot of criticism that got thrown at the podcast at both Shannon Sharp and Cat Williams, because a lot of people missed the whole part of him going, God damn it, Paul, I fucking hate you. It's a spy family reference. But because Cat Williams prefaced it by saying that he's going after people who said bad and negative about him, he was going back at them. A lot of people saying, like, why are you doing this to other black comedians? This is uncool. Shannon, you should have cut him off. Why are you doing like this is uncalled for? A comedian should be together, working together to boost both, whatever. There's a lot of that criticism that came out. Kat even addressed some of it in the interview where he's talking about, there are not 90% of the people he's working with are opponents. Like he asked Shannon that when he was a Denver Bronco, was he friends with the Cowboys on the other side? No, then that's how he feels about a lot of comedians, that they're technically competition.
The people who are complaining about saying that the comedians should stick together, those weren't other comedians, were there? Because no other comedion thinks that way. that I know. I mean the comedians are that did, like, for themselves. And they're always ripping on other people who think they are better than or jealous of or whatever. I mean, there's so much rivalry in the stand-up comedian circuit.
Right.
It's unreal. If you listen to them talk, I used to, like I said, I had a friend of mine who was a comedian. I used to go out with him when he was in show. I would always go out with the other comedians too. I'd go and hang out with them. I would hear them talking. They are not like kumbaya. Organization,
which is good, because I'm way too nice to be a stand-up comedian. I would have got up on stage, try to be nice to everyone, failed. The next night, I'll be on some like right wing podcast.
To be fair, though, I mean they will help each other out,
right?
They will definitely do that, and they will. Older comedians will take younger ones under the wing and train them and mentor them. And there's that stuff that goes on, but at the end of the day, if you do something wrong, you're not. Nobody's going to protect you in the comedy field. And if you're stealing jokes, you are going to be you could be ostracized out of that. Exactly. I mean, look how fast look what happened to Carlos Mencia. I mean,
that took a while.
You can't keep it took a while before it became super public. It was always known in the comedian circles, though. Everybody knew that within the comedian circles that he was stealing jokes. It just took a while before they admitted it publicly, that somebody it got depressed that it got
right. Yeah, that's like Amy Schumer. I remember I heard a joke from her one time. I sat there and I heard that one off of MTV. That's a Bobby Lee joke, And granted, I just know I've heard from watching Mad TV and I just couldn't find a clip. And I remember watching Amy Schumer do it. I'm like, that's a Bobby Lee joke.
Now, you have to be careful, you do have to be careful, because there are times where people will write jokes for other comedians.
Right.
That they've done, but they would sell the joke to them.
Yeah.
So they're not stealing that joke. They are paying for it. That's fine. But
yeah.
So if you hear somebody do another person's joke, it doesn't necessarily mean he stole it. But so, you find out pretty quickly who's stealing jokes. You can hear the scuttlebutt.
One of the examples that Cat Williams definitely gave that I've seen the side by side of, which is it's damning, is that Cat Williams did the closing joke that Cedric Entertainer stole from Cat Williams that he did on Kings of Comedy. Mm-hmm. Basically, Cat Williams did a joke about like having like this expensive luxury car that breaks down. And the whole thing is that he pantomimes the whole car turning on, rocking with the car and the car dying, and then him with the music still playing, and him having to push the car. And then Cat Williams talks about the story that he does that joke. He meets up with Mark Curry. Mark Curry helps him workshop that joke. He makes that joke even better. Cedric sees him do that joke. Mind you, this joke was on television at this point, on BET.
In the 90s.
Yeah, in the 90s, before the King's Comedy. And then Cedric did the same joke, but turned the car into a spaceship. And it's the exact same mannerisms and the way and how he's setting it up and how he starts the car. And it's basically the exact same joke. And Cat Williams talked about how Cedric came to him, apologized. They talked about it and they were good. And then when he did the interview with Shannon Sharp, said that he didn't steal the joke. Said, oh, I didn't steal it. That's nonsense. That's
a misunderstanding.
That's not what happened.
Did you see the what's the show with Howie Mandel on it where they do the star searchy type thing? I can't remember. The American Idol, I think, is not.
Yeah.
America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
America's Got
Talent. Like that, yeah. Yeah.
They had a comedian on there. Mm-hmm. It was funny because they had a comedian on there who told a joke. And Howie stopped the show, or wasn't so much stopped the show. It was after he did the bit. He said, I know that you stole that joke. In fact, the person you stole that joke from is our warm-up guy. It was Frank Nicotrino, I guess, was on the side, and he's the one as the warm-up for the show. And he pointed him out and told him to come up. He says, you stole his joke and just told it live on the show in front of him. I mean, and went off on him. I guess Howie just laid into him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Shannon asked him a question about why stealing the joke was such a big thing. He was like, why is that a big deal? He's like, I spent like 200 hours workshopping, getting this to exactly where I want it to be. It's my best joke. It's the joke I close my shows on. And then he just takes it wholesale.
Yeah. And the worst part is that and this dovetails into something else. Now that somebody else who's maybe a little bit bigger has done the joke, he can't tell the joke now because he will be accused of stealing the other person's joke. Mm-hmm. It is like what James Summerton did with all the people we were talking about before, where these people are trying to get known. They're trying to get their name out there. They have ideas and they worked hard on, and now they are getting no recognition for it. Yeah. And he's taking all of the money for that they should have been getting. And it's the same kind of thing. You're stealing their, everything from them at that point. It's the whole thing that they do.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of people, like there's a lot of criticism that was thrown at Shannon's way for letting Cat Williams talk, because Cat Williams was just going. There's nothing he could do to just stop him from just going.
Well, you don't want to stop. When somebody's on a roll like that, you let them go.
Yeah, let them go.
You feed them. You keep saying, okay, now what happened next? Or, you get that out of them, because it's very rare that you need an interviewer to be that open.
Yeah,
talk about that stuff. Most people, when they go to interviews, are so couched and closed off. Right. You get somebody who's talking, you let him go.
Right, and Kevin's talking about the reason he wanted to go on that podcast because of that, and he had been a fan of the Club Shay Shay things. He watched him do the interviews. He liked his interview style, and he wanted to go in there and make it, as Cat Williams says, that he wants to make this a podcast of truth, because truth needs to be told. He's like, I don't know why liars lie. They just do. And I don't understand why they do it. They just lie. And liars are going to lie. Liars are just going to lie. And there's nothing you can do about it. Yep. I don't know why. They just do it. Yep. But it is a very interesting interview. There's a lot of things I did not expect. Because I originally only saw the clip of him calling people out. Then I listened to the whole thing. We get into his life. And a lot of the other less superficial things he put into it. It's a solid thing to watch. I watched somebody they talk about reviewing it, and they basically said if this came out last year, it would have been on his best movies of the year. because it's a podcast that held his attention for almost 3 hours, and that's something that's impressive. You got to be cool with that. The people criticizing all the time, it's ridiculous because Shannon had to address it several times on his other show, because he does like a show called Nightcap with Chad Ochocinco. And he talks about some of the criticism he got from doing the podcast, some of the things that, like, not stopping Cat, why did he let him talk about this kind of stuff, you know, why did he let him call these people out when you had him on your show, et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, he wanted to be a guest. I'm not going to tell him no. And this is a part of the thing. He wanted to talk. He let him talk. That's what I want to do.
Why would you stop him? You had somebody on the show once, and he's talking about somebody that used to be. Why would you care? Why would you stop that? I mean, I don't understand why the thinking is that why you would, you know, we're trying to be real and have interviews, right? We're not trying to.
It's a weird.
All be nice to each other.
It's a weird thing that I've definitely seen a trend of, because like that's the same stuff that happened with Keith Lee, the food reviewer, when he reviewed stuff from Atlanta, and people saying that how dare he give negative reviews for stuff in Atlanta, and there's like, you need to support black businesses as a black man. Why would you do that?
Yeah, it's like if they're bad, you don't want them to you know.
Right, but that's a whole why would you
different it?
It's a whole different cultural conversation that I'm just like, like, I don't even know where to start on that. But it's an interesting watch. If you should give it a listen. If you have easiest, put it on in the background. You can find clips. There's a lot of things you talk.
I need to find if anybody's reacted to it.
There's plenty of people that's reacted to it.
I haven't seen it pop up.
There's some reactions. There's side by side clips. Some people finding fact check receipts.
Yeah.
And then there's some people trying to call Cat Williams out, saying that he stole jokes, right? Which is like, okay, all right, this is gonna get interesting.
That is something you have to be careful of. If you accuse somebody of stealing, you better not have any record of you doing it.
Yeah.
Right. So like, he stole jokes, you know. There's just a lot of stuff that's going to come out of this. It's one of those few moments in time kind of things of everybody's talking about this. Everybody's looking at stuff. Everybody's digging into, you know, Steve Harvey and him saying that he was homeless for 3 years, which he wasn't. Literally, his second wife confirmed that he was never homeless. Because he was just lying for no reason, because he would have been homeless between 1989 and 1990, 1987 and 1990, but he just wasn't. You know, just outright lies for no reason.
I know. But it was also interesting to hear all like the different history of Cat Williams, because like he to me, he's always been hilariously funny, and he's right. He has always crafted these characters to himself, and honestly, like the second Friday movie was on his back and Terry Crews' back.
Yeah. Friday after next. Yeah.
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 Well, you said Chad Ochocinco. Is that the actual Ochocinco?
Yeah. Like
that he does the show with.
Yeah, Shannon in the wide receiver.
How many Ochocincos do you know?
Hey, I can see people trying to steal and glom onto that name. I see people do that with other names all the time.
It is Shannon Sharp, the tight end, and Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco, the wide receiver for the Bengals.
I haven't heard him in like a decade. I was just wondering what happened.
They do it.
Brad was like, the Ochocinco family, the farm next door. Duh.
There are people who tried using that name. Let me tell you.
Brad was good. Is that your last name? Is it Reinhold Ochocinco?
Chad did have a great joke because Shannon was talking about all the views that he got, and his interview with Chad got like 6 million. And Chad goes, thank you guys. Like, I was behind on my child support. Now I'm caught up. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Got me out of the rears. 2024. All right, guys. Black man supporting black man.
Dave Foley needs to do that. Get himself out.
Hashtag in the rears, please donate. That should be the news.
That's what we were talking. That's the one thing I got knocked out of my head. We were talking about being able to tell jokes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Dana Gould has a great thing, a bit in one of his stand-up specials where he's talking about, you know, you can't joke about this. You can't joke about that. He says, well, let's prove that. I'll make three jokes. One about rape, one about 9/11, one about, and it was like three things. And he made the jokes and they were hilarious jokes and they weren't offensive, but they were about, it was like, you got to know how to do it. That's what I'm saying. That, and he proved that very well in that bit.
Right. Before this episode gets too long of the truth, look at you guys over here trying to push the barrier. Look at you. See,
I was ready to talk about this. We're going to talk about it. I'm like, let's go.
Do we have like 2 minutes to talk about one other thing?
But what is it, right home?
Did you see the Summerton apology video?
the now deleted Summerton apology video?
No.
They made he came back and made an apology video. Oh, God. And deleted it within 2 hours.
He immediately decided to play started emotion. He's like, I just came out of the hospital and I was having a mental break and it's really hard, guys. I'm sorry. It's bad.
I still want to make movies and I want you guys to trust me. So you guys
bullied this man for leaving.
And then he still kept blaming other people. And he was trying to throw the other writer. He tried throwing him under the bus a little bit. He was trying everything except take responsibility. And people just destroyed him for it. And within 2 hours, he had it deleted again.
And then he posted like a text apology about deleting his apology. It was bad. It was
like something off The Boys. I'm sorry.
It was like,
yeah, we may never hear from him again. I don't know.
It was like off of South Park with BP. Well, we're sorry. We're sorry. Sorry.
I know it's one of those like, dude, just go under for a few years. Don't stop talking about it.
Go away.
Look.
He's such a narcissist. I don't know if he can. That's what I'm saying. He might be back another week.
You can bounce back. Phil DeFranco bounced back. Okay.
Yeah. And now he bounced back. He also openly admits that, yeah, I used to be cringe as fuck. Mm-hmm.
You can bounce back. Yeah, his reward is getting people ripping him on his wedding photos now, though. So that's the only bad thing about that.
I mean, but still, I'd rather that than him been ripped about being cringy and terrible before and him openly admitting that he used to be. So
yeah. Like I said, like I'm a respect for him as long as he doesn't ever take that content down. It stays up there forever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like he admits that he did it.
Oh yeah. But and thank you, YT Watchdog, calling him out. YT Watchdog, wherever you are, YouTube needs you again. Come back. YouTube needs to watch T-Watchdog again.
Yeah, because
we'll have H-Bomber. He's out there.
Don't worry, guys.
Anyways,
got to get my Crypto Zoo refund. It's fine.
God dang, that Crypto Zoo. Got to promise not to sue me.
You guys promise to sue me, and I'm not going to refund any of the tokens that I said they're needed for the game.
Whatever.
That I told you to keep buying because I said the game's going to exist.
Oh, new Steam recommendation. Just dropped. There's an Alex Jones.
I didn't look at it. I saw that it was there.
That show's not recommended. That show's not recommended. That game's not recommended by Loki. That is,
it's got 400 likes. It's got 400 positive reviews.
Nope.
We recommend Slay the Princess.
I recommend Class of 09. And
hey, House Party's out there. Get that.
Trust me, Reinhold. House of 09 is worse than that. House of 09 is worse than that.
Anyways, this episode's getting way longer. So I'm getting squirrely. All right, let's end this sucker. All right, we're ending this thing. I'm landing this plane with the whole plane attached. The whole plane. attached. I just realized we had a bad plane joke on the worst day. Oh, man.
Good job, Harry. Now we're going to get kicked off of YouTube again.
I apologize.
Kicked off of YouTube again.
Anyways, sorry. I am so sorry. I feel bad. I'm a bad guy. Thank you for listening to this episode of Low Key on the Real Estate Network. You could have been listening to anything else in the world, but you decided to listen to this, and I thank you. This podcast is recorded live, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live on Mondays. We're on Twitch.com. It's not Twitch.com, Twitch.tv, so it's We Are Libertarians with letter R, and YouTube.com. We Are Libertarians, also on the Facebook page. You know, come hang out with us. I thank you to all 300 plus of you now. If you're at 302 who download the podcast, I appreciate you.
Absolutely.
So I wish some of you guys would come hang out live, but hey, download the podcast. You listen how you want. Thank you. Thank you. I hope you guys are getting some of the bits that, because like I said, this is mostly a live show. But thank you. So we'll be back next Monday. I had a topic, but like Brian Holland, has a small snippet on his 2024 contract that we have to like work out to get to be able to do next week's show. Well, we may have to switch it out. I don't know yet. dang contracts. I know, and it's okay. And possibly we may have to get Escalja on the episode, but he's going to be in a dress contract. Anyways, thank you, everybody. If you guys want to say goodbye, see you.
Bye, guys.